Well, I'm sorry. One definition of cruelty is to have to listen to me after you listen to that. Please join me in thanking our choir. This is really beautiful. That was worshipful. That moved me. Thank you. So one of our biggest struggles in our time in Richmond, Virginia, was naturally chips and salsa. So our local neighborhood restaurant literally one time served us chips and said, "We're out of salsa." Oh, irony. It would be a massive shock for you to learn that said Mexican restaurant that doesn't have salsa sometimes, eventually closed, okay? And then they reopened, and they tried again, and then they closed again. And so on and so forth. And they gave it a go several times. And I would go every now and then for some food. Allison went more than me, but she's more of a margarita girl. So that's a different sermon for a different day. Your confession can be heard. Unfortunately, the restaurant was shut down. We were really just kind of bummed because we wanted some good places like on our side of town. Our side of town wasn't quite as hip as we wanted it to be. But they shut it down, and it was shut down empty for years. One of the struggles, particularly for those of us who've heard the story, is to experience Scripture as a story. And so I'd like to encourage you today to just take a breath, okay? We're going to look at like two verses tops, okay? Slow the mind and the heart down. We so quickly want to go to all the connections that Ruth and Jesus have or how the story ends. But let us just slow down and experience Scripture as story. And I'd like to suggest to you a very technical, theological, exegetical item. For at the end of verse 5, Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. This is very technical, but at the end of this verse in my Scripture, there's a period. This is how we end sentences. The end of verse 5, period, spacebar, verse 6. Verse 6 begins, That's such sacred space between verse 5, a period, and the beginning of verse 6. What is going on? Naomi has lost everyone. Where does she belong? Where does Ruth belong? Where does Orpah belong? For at this moment in history, unfortunately, there's really only a couple places that women belong. A virgin in her father's home, number one. Number two, a son-bearing woman in her husband's home. Number three, a widow in her eldest son's home. Maybe number four, a single woman serving in some regard in the temple. Naomi belongs in none of these places. And what I would like to suggest is that to be human is to experience a time and place and space in which we don't belong. To be human is to be have irony and famine collide. Naomi, from the house of bread, leaves her home for there is no food. Irony and famine collide. Friends, what do you do? What do we do when irony and famine collide? Now, I would like to call this space between verse 5 and verse 6 the in-between. It's a very technical definition. Others have called it suffering. Others have called it the desert. Still others may refer to this space as the dark night of the soul. Texas vernacular may call this stuck in a rut. This is a transitional space. Some might call this a liminal space from the Latin for threshold. The in-between. The in-between of what once was has not quite butted up against what will be. How do we live in this space, particularly when the in-between lasts weeks, months, or even years? You finally get that degree. Man, it's great to get that degree. And then finding a job, much less a position in your field, is impossible. You build that home and there's irreparable damage to the foundation. You finally get that promotion at work and it turns out you hate your new job. Your bread and butter business fails. You have organized a matrix of calendars so that everyone will be at your home on Thanksgiving. And the biggest snowstorm in 10 years hits. Airports are shut down. You have a 40-pound turkey in your freezer and no one shows up. It'll be years before the calendars align for everyone to be together. And many of us are looking at a Christmas season for the first time without that loved one. Where do we sit? Who's going to make brunch? This is the in between, the liminal space. I went to visit a man several times in a hospital, and unfortunately his bride was not doing well. He was a former farmer, so he's big and he was strong. Not as strong as he once was, but you could tell he was still had thick skin. And he told me that he was having a hard time emoting, that his wife was doing awful, but he was having a hard time feeling things in this season. And I was there in the room with him as his wife passed through the veil from this life into the next. And he didn't shed a tear. We exchanged information, we hugged, we prayed, and he went on. It was months and months later in the grocery store. I was going down the aisle, the cereal aisle, and a big strong farmer in front of me was visibly grieving. He had a box of cereal in his hands, and he looked up and he noticed me, and I noticed him, and he said to me, "I don't know. I don't know, Jake." Vincent van Gogh, one of the greatest artists in the modern era, lived a life in the in-between of famine and irony, struggling with a lack of resources, struggling with mental illness throughout his life. He painted over 900 of the world's most prominent and most beautiful paintings, and he sold one of them in his lifetime. After his death, his sister-in-law collected his items and began to share them with the world. And when asked, "Why do you think we didn't, why didn't we recognize his brilliance when he was still here?" She gave many answers, of course, but one of them was, "I don't know. I don't know." And "I don't know" is the confession of the in-between. When you find yourself in a season, in a space where irony and famine have collided, "I don't know. What will you do after graduation when you can't find a job? I don't know. What do you do when your big idea finally and totally bombs? I don't know. Who is the right and only candidate to vote for on Tuesday? I don't know." Is what Jesus means, I think, when he says we need to die to ourselves, "I don't know," maybe the most honest and unused spiritual words in the English lexicon. You don't have to know. Hebrews 12, it says that we can receive the mind of Christ, that our minds can be transformed. I think part of being in the in-between is dying to what we used to know so that something new can be raised up in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. What is it that used to work that is no longer working? How can we die to the old that the new might be raised up? I believe that we are in an eschatological, cosmic in-between. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Can a brother get an amen? Amen. And yet there is still this, Christ is yet to come. At a cosmic level, we live in the in-between. The kingdom of God has fully arrived in the person of Jesus. And like fall, bursting with colors, heaven is falling to the soil, and yet there is still so much more that needs to be manifest. The church in the West, on a grand scale, I believe, is in a season of I don't know. Young people leaving the church in massive numbers for good reason. Technology and information shaping not just our own lives, shaping entire cities and communities. Abuses of leadership, whether spiritual, financial, sexual, we've given people a good reason to put the church into a place of I don't know. All of this on those two little spaces between the period at the end of verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6. In 1964, receiving the Nobel Prize for Peace, Martin Luther King said that the path towards progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. It is every step towards the goal of justice that requires suffering, sacrifice, and struggle. This is the I don't know. He continues that I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will indeed have the final word. And Dr. King, in his brilliance and his wisdom, recognized, not just through his work, but through the work of God, that progress is being made in our world. And Dr. King was blessed enough to see some of it, yet he also knew that there was so much further to go. On a grand scale, we are in an in-between. Yet progress through the work of our God, through the kingdom, is moving us forward out of verse 5 and finally into verse 6. Verse 6 begins, when Naomi, or then Naomi, she takes a step. She takes a single risk. She decides to return. Will there be bread in Bethlehem? I don't know. Will the family name and the family land still be good? I don't know. Will everything go according to the plan that we have set out? Not in a million, million years. Dr. King continued that to be a person of faith is to take a step when one cannot see the entire staircase. Friends, what is one step in front of you that you might take? Not the entire staircase, not the entire progress of the cosmos. What is one step, one risk, one hope that you might move in your life from this space of in-between into a new path of learning, a new path of living? I am certain that if you do not feel as though you're in a place of in-between, I'm certain that someone near to you is. Your friend, your coworker, your neighbor, your colleague is in a place of in-between. And if you aren't in a place of in-between right now, you will be. You will be. And you'll have the opportunity, as you face the in-between, to die to what once worked in order to be raised up in a new way of living. Or if you don't decide that, you can go back. And you can live emotionally, spiritually, even physically unhealthy lives. You have the option to take a step without seeing the entire staircase. I'd like to just suggest three aspects of what it's like to be in the in-between. And these are illustrative. This is not exhaustive in any ways. This is just three descriptions of things that you might face in the in-between. First is shame. It can be shameful to lose a job. When your small business fails, when the thing that you felt you knew that you were going to take a risk for, when it bombs, it's okay if you experience shame. If a loved one in your life passes, she dies, and you begin to question yourself, could I have done more? Did she really know that I loved her? If you experience shame, that's okay. And shame is one indication that you might be in the space of in between. On a cosmic scale, I experience shame for what happened in Pittsburgh. I lament the violence inflicted upon the congregation of the Tree of Life. Not in the sense to propagate white guilt. I'm not interested in that. I'm just saying, as a person of faith, as a leader, as a human being, I'm ashamed of that violence. We can experience shame. To experience shame in this place of in between is to be human. But to be continually transformed is to allow Christ to redeem the shame. And one thing I think you might experience if you're in the in-between is excitement. It might really stink if you lose your job or your small business project fails. But it can be exciting to try something new. And I know it hurts when a loved one passes, but it can be exciting to carry on a legacy. I know it hurts when a loved one passes, but some of the legacies of those who have gone before us need to be redeemed or removed. It's a new world now that they're gone, and we get to make this new world with the help of God. It can be exciting, even moving on from those who've gone before us. It can be exciting to address the massive problems in our world if we will just admit, I don't know all the answers. I don't know exactly how to solve poverty, racial reconciliation, and various injustices. I don't know, but I'm interested in learning. I'm interested in trying something new. We can experience excitement as God redeems our shame. And last, Naomi and Ruth travel together. You were not designed to be alone forever. And there may be a season in this time of in between that you feel alone. And in this time, it is okay if you're Ruth and you need to ask for help from a Naomi. Each of you in this room has the right to ask. You deserve the help of one another. Further, each person in this room, and I don't care if you're 7 or 77, you have something to offer. You have something to offer to another as they travel through the in-between. How can you be a guide, a source of support? How can you be a friend? This is discipleship. And we were not meant to be alone. Yes, Christ will help us in the in-between, but we can help one another as well. Months and months later, there was a rumor that the Mexican restaurant was going to reopen. And there was a date set. And in fact, we drove by this place all the time. We saw one evening they had like a practice night where they made all the food and trained all the servers. And there was an opening date set. And that opening date came and it went. No restaurant. And all the little news on the group page were asking, when do you think it'll open? When do you think it'll open? And the only honest answer is, I don't know. And months went by and months went by. And rumor that the ownership was partnering with some owners in town who had done some neat things and were part of some really cool spots in town, and we were thrilled. And on opening night of the Little Nickel, Eva, Allison, and I went to dinner at 4:30 p.m. And we sat where this wall used to be. And they extended the front wall into the patio. And if you've ever been into a space that's been transformed, if you've ever been into a space that's remodeled, it's incredible to sit there and think, gosh, this used to be this kind of, but now it's so much bigger and better. We ate the food, we drank the drink, And thank God there was no Mexican food and there was no chips and there was no salsa, because it was incredible. Friends, are you in a space of in between? Is there an old way of thinking that you need to die to? Does something in you need to lay fallow for some time? Is there someone in your life that you might be a source of support to as they journey through the space of in between? We walk with the one who offers hope, the one who has come, the one who has died, the one who has bursted forth from the grave, and we wait in the in between for the return of Christ, continually renewing our minds and transforming into the image of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be patient. Help us to receive the spaces in which we might learn and grow. Help us to hold on to the hope of a little bit longer. We pray for our brothers and our sisters in our lives, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, who are in a tough place, who are in an unknown land, where the things that used to work in their lives no longer work, where the people who used to be in their lives are no longer there. Help us to be a source of hope. May you transform our minds into the image of Christ. May you transform our city and our land into the kingdom of God. We pray that our city would be as it is in heaven. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.